And then church leaders, you know, I often tell church leaders, it's like you're already going through all of the effort and you've given your life to being a church leader and a church pastor. And, you know, there's a lot of other things you could have done with your life. And so you might as well just give it your all. You might as well say, hey, Jesus is calling us to make disciples, proclaim the gospel. He's saying that it's the people that are obeying those commands who love me. I might as well go full bore. And I just want you to know I'm here to help you with that. There's no question at all.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalyst. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy to remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast.
Well, hello, friends. Hey, Mike Falkenstein here with 1-8 Catalyst. And I'm so glad that you've joined us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Show. And on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts as the Catalytic Podcast, I am so glad that you are joining us today. And we are wrapping up today the going through chapter by chapter of my book, Being and Making Disciples in the Western Church. Here it is right here. And we are just going through the book chapter by chapter. I decided to do this because this season of the podcast, you know, has been all about being and making disciples. And so I thought, yeah, I've got a book that actually is doing that. And so I obviously, you know, it's funny. I've written now 5 books and every one of them feels like a child of mine almost. You know, it feels I'm very close to the content, just because I feel like God has given me the content to be able to then share with other people. And boy, you sure do labor over the, I've sure labored over the words. And so to be able to go through chapter by chapter of the book is, you know, really special for me. If you're just joining us, really 2 things. Because this is chapter 3 in this book, I've done 2 other episodes. And so if you have not seen those, go back and watch them on YouTube. Or if you're on the podcast side, you know, listen to those episodes on the podcast side. And so that'll kind of catch you up for where we are now. If you're just joining us, then you don't know that this book is available for free on our website. And so let me just give you that that web address. And so if you go to 1-8catalyst.org, in the upper right hand corner, we've got a little thing you click that says free ebook. And so you can actually get the ebook for free of this book, Being and Making Disciples in the Western Church. And again, obviously I'm the author and I really feel, you know, close to this content, because again, it's something that God's given me then to, you know, communicate to others. But as objective as I can be, I really do think that, you know, this book is a really good, you know, is a really good book. It's short, right? It's taking people about 1 to 2 hours to read. And so depending on how fast or slow of a reader you are, you know, you can go through it. The paperback, like this one I have in my hand here, is available on Amazon for $5. $5 is the lowest cost that they would allow, that Amazon would allow us to sell it. I would like to sell it actually for even less than that. So because, I mean, this is really our giveaway item for our ministry, not because it doesn't have a lot of good things to say. In fact, it's just the opposite reason. We think it has a lot of good things to say. And it is the message that at 1-8 Catalyst that we want to communicate to both Christians. That is, Jesus really does want you to be a fully devoted follower of him. And to on the church's side, we really do want churches to be churches that are making disciples of Jesus. And we think it's a tremendous need in the what we'd call the North American church and maybe the greater Western church, because research has shown that only about 5% of North American churches have a reproducible disciple making strategy. And yet, as it relates to what we think God has asked us to do at 1-8 Catalyst, that is to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst enabling every Christian to reach their world for Christ. And we have a heart to help people grow in their walk with Christ, because growing disciples of Jesus want to reach their world. And the needs for the gospel are still so great, both in our local area and around the world. So that's our heartbeat. And so we think, hey, if there's a message we want to get out to people, you know, this is it. And so it's important enough for us to pay for the costs to, you know, to get these. I mean, anytime I'm meeting with anyone about our ministry, they get a copy of this. And, you know, we got the ebook available for free. And it's a high priority to get this content out to as many people as we can. And so in today's episode, we're going to talk about chapter 3, which is literally just called Being and Making Disciples at Your Church. And it's a great, I love this chapter, because after looking both at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, kind of on the personal side for each of us individually, and then looking at what making disciples of Jesus in our church, like how to do that and what that looks like, then we kind of go through a scenario of what a church that really has a deep heart to make disciples that make disciples looks like. And so I have an imaginary scenario of this church. And so what I thought I would do at first is just read to you a couple of pages in this book, only because then it'll set the stage for the rest of the episode. So for those of you that are listening to this on the podcast side, please do not close your eyes while I read you this story, mostly because some of you, I assume, are probably driving. And so we don't want you to be, you know, I don't want you to be closing your eyes. But if you're watching on the YouTube side, I would just encourage you just to close your eyes and just sort of imagine, you know, what this would look like to be attending a church that looks like this. So I'm literally just going to read from the book. So again, this is sort of an imaginary story that I've created that would represent what it would be like for all of us to potentially be attending a church that has a deep heart to make disciples that make disciples. Driving to church for Sunday morning services, you can't help thinking about your community group and the way that you've seen the body of Christ stand by you time and time again. With your recent job loss, you can't believe how clutch these people have been in your life. You knew that they would be there for you, having walked closely with these people over the last couple of years, but this is next level. It has truly affirmed what the leaders of the community group have been saying to you about how you all need to be abiding in Christ daily together, showing Romans 12:10 lived out to love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Pulling into the parking lot, you're reminded of the training class that you signed up for. You signed up for the next three Thursday nights on how to share the gospel. Oh, I lost my place. How to share the gospel and your story of how you became a Christian. You say to yourself, I've got to put that in my Google Calendar, you think to yourself. Even though the class runs every 6 months, you've been slow to sign up, and a bit of anticipation and nervousness run through your mind thinking about it. You've never actually been trained on how to share a gospel presentation, but having been through other equipping classes at your church, you know that those leading the class will do a good job. And you remember that if they are anything like the previous classes, you'll have refreshments, which is always a nice treat. Walking to the church, you see your friends Billy and Susie from your community group, And as if they are reading your mind, they ask, are you all going to the Sharing the Gospel workshop on Thursday? A brief conversation breaks out about the equipping classes that a bunch of you from the community group have been to together, and the consensus of which class everyone liked better is divided between the Genesis to Revelation Bible study course or the basic spiritual disciplines class that has been so helpful to those in your community. As you have been diligent to help each other grow spiritually, a theme running through your community group has been trying to apply what has now become a key passage in 2 Timothy 2:15, and as if on cue, Billy recites the verse to remind everyone of a common goal. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Billy stops, trying to remember the rest of the verse. Your spouse chimes in, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Billy and Susie, you say, thank you for always being there to help us do our best. They then ask you if you and your spouse want to sit together for a service. Of course, you reply, let us just take the kids to children's church and we'll meet you there. Walking to the children's area, you're thankful for the dedicated hours that the children's ministry team put into bringing Jesus alive to your kids and how they're even learning to memorize short Bible verses. This sure makes things easier to be able to take their curriculum and use it for your Sunday night family devotional. Walking into the sanctuary, you find your spouse and your friends just as the service is starting. How fun! Billy and Susie have found Ed and Nicole, who are also in your community group. As a group, you've been praying for them as they felt God's call to serve in Indonesia with an organization reaching unreached people groups. It's been such an encouragement to see how Ed and Nicole have been encouraged by the missions pastor in taking the So You're Feeling Called classes by the community group leaders and the mission organization they've just joined that will serve as their sending organization. To your knowledge, Ed and Nicole are one of four families that are praying through the process of serving the Lord internationally. As the leaders lead the congregation through the service, there's a few things that you notice specifically that you're thankful for. The worship music team always does such a good job of leading the congregation towards worshiping God and glorifying Him. No extra anything that doesn't need to be there, just worshiping God that brings glory to Him. As you hear the pastor give his message, you're thankful for the high view of Scripture that the pastoral and elder team have. To them, the Bible really is the written word of God, and you hear constantly from them that if the Bible says it, then we'll do it. This passion for biblical obedience was certainly all over the membership process that you went through 18 months ago. You can still remember the elders talking about their responsibilities of oversight as though they were going to have to give an account for how they did in keeping watch over the congregation. Because they have such great responsibility biblically, they were asking you to take your responsibilities to the Lord and to this body of Christ seriously too. You are also regularly struck by the passion that oozes out of the pastor and his team for the transformative power of the gospel in people's lives. To them, no one is outside of the power of the gospel and no lives are too far gone. Given the open door into people's lives, Jesus is able to save anyone and can radically transform anyone. That passion for the transformative power of the gospel bleeds over into making disciples overseas as well. After the sermon, you get a powerful update from the missions pastor about what God is doing internationally through the ministry of your church. Interestingly, the missions pastor repeats a phrase you hear often from him and other staff at the church. We're not going to reach the lost overseas if we're not reaching the lost here at home. You remember that your community group leaders have been challenging everyone to just find one person to invest in and begin helping them grow spiritually. On your way home from church, you begin thinking through the plans for tonight's neighborhood barbecue that you and your spouse have been working on for weeks. It is the culmination of your efforts to be outside more often, to intentionally meet your neighbors, to ask them their story, and begin a friendship. It's been fun to get to know them better and actually call them by their names as you see them out and about. You and your spouse are hoping that God will give you both that just one to begin investing in. All in all, you're thankful that God has given you such a great church with great leaders, and you're happily invested in the mission that God seems to be given your church. And then I ask the question in the book, the next paragraph, what do you think? Is this a church where you'd like to be a member? While this is a fictional story about a fictional church, all the churches I've seen who are deeply intentional about making disciples that make disciples as a conviction to fully obey Jesus' command all have a very similar feel and flow as the church in my story. And I can tell you what, that's a church that I want to be involved in sure, for sure, for several reasons. One, of course, because God has called me to be one who is making disciples that make disciples. You know, I really believe that I have a personal call to obey the command that Jesus gives to me and all followers in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. I also believe that the power or part of the reasoning behind that comes from John 14:21, where Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he it is that loves me. And so I really do want to show Jesus that I love him. And so I always want to try my best to obey him and the commands that Jesus gives to me as he gives them to all of his followers. So it's a powerful story, I think, and certainly hits me really deep in my heart. That's a church that I want to be a part of. And so if that also is something that is hits you, let me just give you five areas where as a church leader and as a congregation member of a church that you can be working on to become a church and to be attending a church that is serious about making disciples that make disciples. This list of these five areas are also found in another book resource that we have at our ministry called Keeping Watch Over Souls, a book on the six marks of a church that makes disciples. And so those are also available on Amazon, both in paperback and ebook format. And so for the church leaders in particular, if you like this episode and these five areas and you say, okay, Mike, how do we actually do that? Pick up a copy of this for every one of the elders at your church. There's four discussion questions to help you kind of flesh out how you can begin doing these six marks of a church that makes disciples. And so, you know, that book is as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, each of the books that I've written, they have a special place, of course. That one, just because so few of our churches have a reproducible disciple making strategy. I have a really deep heart to sort of really lean in and serve and help churches do that well if I can. So if the story, these ideas of being a part of a church that makes that is good at making disciples that make disciples is of any interest, let me super quickly, with the time that I have left, go through five quick areas that you as a church member and as a congregation member who can be challenging and encouraging your church leaders at your church to be doing. And of course, the first one should be the most obvious one, right? Which is that a church that is good at making disciples that make disciples has a high view of Scripture. you know, far too many of us as Christians and far too many of our churches kind of take scripture, you know, in pieces as we will take the parts that we like and we won't take the other parts that we, you know, that we won't like. But a church that is making disciples has a high view of scripture and communicates to all in the church that we are a church that spends time in the Bible, looking to the Bible for our marching orders. And when I was doing my research for my book, Keeping Watch Over Souls, you know, I was really struck with a man by the name of Todd Wagner, who was the pastor at Watermark Community Church in Dallas. And he had a habit. Of course, he was very social with his members of his church, wanted to talk about a lot of different things when he would see them. But one thing he would always ask them is, what are you learning today, or what are you learning this week from God's word? And the idea was that I want to talk to you about Dallas Cowboys football, and I want to talk to you about the weather and your kids and all of that. That we're going to get to that. But very first, number one, I actually want to just ask you, you know, how you're doing and getting time in God's word, because I have, as a pastor, a high view of scripture, and I want to communicate that to you. And I just really love that. So obviously, in, you know, for church leaders, I would say beginning to talk in that language is really helpful. Obviously, the other main thing that I have encouraged church leaders to do is to really think through what it would look like for you to also be a church that is a, hey, if the Bible says it, we're going to do it. And to be able to, I mean, we're talking about in the ministries that you create, the way that you run your staff, the way that the staff communicates and deals with congregation, the way the congregation deals with itself. It's like, hey, if the Bible, we're gonna figure out in all of these areas what the Bible says, and then we're going to be people that will obey it. And then on the notes for members of the congregation, obviously to be able to do that in your own life and to be a person that is, hey, if the Bible says it, then, you know, I'm going to do it. I also often in this area recommend to people to take a strong interest in theology. And so, you know, I'm often surprised at how so many Christians that I meet really don't take theology very seriously, with the idea, well, that's, you know, that's for my church leaders or for ministry leaders, or Mike, that's for people like you that, you know, that do ministry full time. And, you know, the Bible was written for you. I mean, God has a message for you in the Bible, in your daily life. And, you know, taking an interest in not just doing a regular Bible reading, but doing more, you know, deeper studies. You know, I have on our website, our training website with our ministry at equippingdepot.org, we have a 3-point Bible study worksheet that teaches you how to go topically, you know, to get in deeper into this, you know, into different topics of the Bible. And, you know, I often tell people who tell me they don't have time for that, I always then go to, all right, tell me about, you know, how you're doing with your, how much time do you spend watching TV or, you know, on your phone or, you know, so forth and so on. And if you have time for TV, you certainly have time to read your Bible, right? So, all right, area number two in this thing is what I'm calling a steely-eyed commitment to making disciples that make disciples. And I add this adjective, steely-eyed commitment, just because if you're in a church that is not currently making disciples that make disciples, and you get a hold of this book, or you know, you have a real heart to become that kind of church, man, it's gonna be hard, right? I mean, it's gonna take discipline. You're probably, church leader, gonna have some people leave who liked it when you were not so serious about the things of God. And so just be ready for that. And kind of my one encouragement there, of course, is, you know, just have a real, real strong mission statement that has something to do with making disciples, and then get that out to everybody at this church. Here's what we do. Here's our mission. you talk about it a lot, and then you follow through and you really do it. And then from the congregation side, if you're seeing that your church is not a church that has a heart to make disciples that make disciples, it's okay to just ask questions of your pastors and elders and say, you know, in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will be able to teach others also. And that's a biblical look at discipleship. How could I be a part of the process of helping our church be able to do that? So, all right. Area number three, a determination to equip all your people. And, you know, in my little story, I mentioned these classes that the people in this community group were going through, how to share the gospel class, how to share your testimony, sort of a biblical survey class, you know, Genesis to Revelation, which I always encourage churches to do that as well, just because to give your congregation a look at the full story of God from the very beginning to the end. It all matches. It all flows. There's a reason why, you know, we see X, Y, and Z in the Old Testament and it's fulfilled the New Testament. And you can kind of make that, you can make that connection. Obviously, I mentioned the 2 Timothy 2:15 passage to handle the word of truth correctly, you know, to always be ready to be able to share your gospel, having classes where, man, all of your people know how to be able to do that, knowing how to share your gospel, share the gospel, how to be witnesses of Jesus worldwide. Area number four in this area of being a church that makes disciples, is just what I call a confident expectation of the power of the gospel. And, you know, as I worked with churches and my ministry, I'm often surprised how many Western churches and church denominations today don't have an expectation that the gospel can transform the life of any person. But we know that Jesus is able to do, from Ephesians chapter 3, immeasurably more than all that we could ever ask or imagine. And, you know, there's just a switch that goes on in the lives of the congregation when the church leaders go, man, the power of the gospel. I mean, it doesn't matter if the drug addict walks through this door, or the woman who has been abused by her husband, or, man, you can just go through all kinds of, you know, scenarios. Jesus can radically and will can radically transform that person's life. And so, you know, the Bible is full of stories of people who believed in this power. You need to be that person too. That was area number four. And then the last one, of course, area number five is that spiritual growth in the lives of a congregation happens primarily through community. Now, that's not to say that we don't do all the Sunday morning activities. There is benefit in that as well, to gather together, to glorify God by worshiping Him through song, through the reading of Psalms, the preaching of the Word. That's all fantastic. I encourage all of it. I want churches to do all of it. But actually, it turns out that because we are people who tend to need accountability, right? Having other people in a community, so that churches call this a different thing, right? Community groups, small groups, life groups, so forth, so on. It just turns out that having people weekly that are asking you, okay, Mike, you said that you were really struggling with X, Y, and Z. How did that go? I've been praying for you. People who are taking you into the Word. Hey, remember, this verse says such and such about this, you know, bringing it always back to, again, having a high view of Scripture. In my book on the six marks of a church that makes disciples, I go through pretty extensively a good format for how this can work in a church, all the way from, you know, you've got your community groups who have leaders. Those leaders are reporting to maybe a section leader who are overseeing a number of groups. Those people are reporting to staff who are reporting to elders. So if there's anything along the line, major sin, couple going through divorce, homosexual activity with an individual, any of that kind of stuff that gets to the elders, who then can do their elder responsibilities of oversight and shepherding of those people, but they're really relying on other people on levels below. And so there's a really good process on how to be able to do that. So I would just encourage you to go through it. And so the challenge in spiritual growth primarily happens through community, of course, is that, you know, it's hard and it takes a lot of intentionality. And, you know, that in previous churches of that my wife and I have been involved in, for example, you know, we've been through a small group or community group, but we meet once a month and it's really more kind of like a quote unquote supper club of some kind. And just generally speaking, you're just not going to be able to get into the depth, just won't be there. If you're doing kind of a meal and a short Bible study, and then you're not seeing those people intentionally until the next, you know, a month from now. And so it's, I recommend in all the resources that I've done in this area to, for these community groups, literally to be meeting weekly. And then even in that, the men of the group are meeting more than that. Maybe there's a bigger group where husbands and wives all meet together. The whole big group meets together. And then you've got men that are meeting on a different day. They're texting each other. Hey, I'm encouraging in this area. Been praying for you here. I know you said you've been dealing with this sin issue. Let's go to the Word and, you know, dig into that. And so I have a real heart for, you know, for that type of ministry, because I really do think that spiritual growth does happen primarily through community. So I hope these five areas have been helpful. Again, grab a copy of Being and Making Disciples in the Western Church. Again, the ebook is available for free on our website. And I hope that you grab a copy of that. And then the if you want to have one even for a community group or something, go to Amazon and, you know, grab it there. If these episodes are helpful, I sure hope that you would, if you haven't already subscribed to our YouTube channel, be sure to do that. Share this content if it's been a help. I really do have a deep heart to help individuals become fully devoted disciples of Jesus. You know, we've got all kinds of resources. I mentioned our website, equippingdepot.org, all our book resources, all of our worksheet work resources, video training courses, all of that is available there. And so be sure to visit that website. And then church leaders, you know, I often tell church leaders, it's like you're already going through all of the effort and you've given your life to being a church leader and a church pastor. And, you know, there's a lot of other things you could have done with your life. And so you might as well just give it your all. You might as well say, hey, Jesus is calling us to make disciples, proclaim the gospel. He's saying that it's the people that are obeying those commands who love me. I might as well go full bore. And I just want you to know, I'm here to help you with that. There's no question at all. I've got a very deep heart to help you to have a church that is a church that's making disciples, that makes disciples. And always the hidden thing. Church leaders always think, man, if I get serious about this stuff, you know, people are going to leave and they're going to, you know, we're not going to be able to keep the lights on. And actually, it turns out, yes, you are going to lose some people, but you're going to lose the, you know, the seed that was thrown in the thorns, so to speak, right? Who are just kind of hanging around your church. Those people that are really ready to bear good fruit, bear spiritual fruit, you know, God will bring those people to you, and, you know, your church will actually grow, and then it'll be growing with people who are deeper spiritually, who are growing in their walk with Christ, reaching the neighborhoods for Christ, because people who are excited about Jesus want to tell others about Jesus. And you're not going to have to worry about church growth or how you're going to be able to do this. you know, you're going to have a lot of really good people doing ministry together with you. So please reach out to me on the 1-8 Catalyst website. There's a contact us page. I'd love to hear from you. Any way that I can help and serve, I'd sure love to do it. So thanks everyone for joining me for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Show. And on the podcast side, the Catalytic Podcast, I am so glad to be with you. And I look forward to having you with me on the next episode. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 1-8catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.